some of us recognize that cultural planning can often happen in a really siloed place. So starting with the fundamentals of land use planning and economic development planning and making sure that cultural planning is integrated into some of these can help cultivate the political will and the accountability tools necessary to get the leadership and the resources on the civic level to move our projects forward.
Welcome to Voices of the Community, your window into the vital issues shaping Northern California. This episode is part of our second season of our Art and Culture series, which features highlights from the second annual California Arts and Culture Summit organized by our partner, California for the Arts. This episode features the Case Making for Collaboration panel discussion, where we explore the intersection of arts advocacy, economic development, and urban planning. Join Tracy Hudak, Director of Field Engagement for California for the Arts, and Jackie Melendez, the Assistant City Manager of the City of Chino. Get ready to discover practical tools and strategies for making the case for arts and culture in your community.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for the conversation, Case Making for Collaboration. My name is Tracy Hudak. I'm the Director of Field Engagement for California for the Arts. I'm also a performance artist and collaborative theater creator, and I've worked at the intersection of arts and community development on projects and planning and all kinds of things for over 20 years. And I'd love to also have my partner introduce herself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jackie Melendez, and I'm an economic developer. I've been in the field for about 20 years. I wear many hats. Today, I'm wearing several hats. One of them is my city hat. I'm the assistant city manager for the city of Chino. And anybody know where Chino's at? Yes. Okay. Some IE, SoCal up in here. Awesome. And so one hat that I wear is the city hat. So your city manager, that's the CEO of the city. Your assistant city manager, the ACM, we like to say is the number two. That's me. And so that's one hat. I've been in government, local government. Anybody else in local government in here? Awesome. I love it. Yes. Okay. So we all smell like City Hall. Yes. So 20 years in local economic development, redevelopment back in the day. I am a board member for Music Changing Lives. Any of you know who Music Changing Lives is? Yes, couple folks, yes. And then also I have my own company, and that's the Mud Lab, Melendez Urban Design Lab. So I consult and I help communities try to figure out some of the things that we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. Our goal here is not to tell you how to run your organizations or what is right or wrong for your communities. Only you know that. I have a sense and a feeling that a lot of the things that I do on a day-to-day basis in economic development, a lot of folks in the arts, they're not a part of those conversations. And part of the reason why I just came back from Washington, D.C., now I'm here in Sacramento having these conversations with folks, is because we've got to get into the conversation. So I'm going to share a little bit about that. Tracy's going to share a little bit about planning. I am a planner by trade. I have a master's in urban regional planning from Cal Poly Pomona. And I also have a background in urban studies and Chicano studies from Berkeley. So I've been studying cities since I was about 8 years old. I love cities, and what works in one community may not work in every community. What we hope, and at the end, we'll have a little discussion to try to figure out some of the takeaways that you might be able to take back to your communities and also give you an opportunity to share in the context of the conversation what might be happening in your community that we all can learn from.
Great. And if you could get our slides fired up, that'd be great. Thank you so much for your support up there. This workshop really came out of an observation that we shared in terms of the SURF process, the Community and Economic Resilience Fund, statewide, regional economic development projects that were going around. And Californians for the Arts, California Forward, who was kind of facilitating engagement in that statewide project, really embraced making sure the creative economy and artists, we were included and at the table. And Californians for the Arts made resources available. We are a working group with California Forward. And what we observed is that the ability of members of the arts community to participate in this process was really uneven. So many of us do the advocacy work unpaid. Even the work of art making and placemaking and all the things that you're doing are under-resourced. So sustaining engagement in a multi-year planning process, knowing where to step in, how to be in those spaces, all those kind of issues we identified within the community in terms of barriers to participating in SURF. And Jackie will probably reference that a little bit more. And so really, we're interested in giving just some fundamental tools and starting points, knowing that you all are the experts also. And next slide, please. And giving some tools and insights into how to step in those spaces. And for those of you that do that work or have done that work, sharing your insights and strategies as well. And we have a slide swap going on. So just Jackie's going to be talking about leveraging the tools of economic development, and our contact information will also be shared on the last slide. Next slide, please. So we'll be talking about economic development, land use planning. We'll be talking about the elements of political will and opening the discussion. We're going to cover those, some of our introductory concepts within the first half, and really wanting to open the floor to hear from you, your questions, insights, strategies, and identify some places to start in the work or to build on it, whatever is happening in your community. Because we're in the larger theater and we anticipated a larger group, the QR code, I don't know if everybody can get to it, but it'll be shared later when we open the floor for discussion. But if you don't get a chance to speak and you do have stuff you want to share, we would love for you to drop stuff into that shared Google document so that we get to learn from you. And that also will help Californians for the Arts plan its training and resources and identify places for us to further support this work. So I'm going to turn it all over to Jackie. Take it away. Thanks.
Okay, so I could talk all day long about economic development.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to try to keep it short and give you some tidbits. Like I said, for those of you who are just walking in, I'm an economic developer, and quite often when I'm in economic development circles, when I'm at economic development conferences or I'm at a chamber event, not very often do we see folks that are part of the arts community in those spaces. And then when I go and I wear my arts hat, I'm in those spaces, I never see economic developers. In my community, there was one guy that I would see in both places, and he recently passed, RIP, John Mercado, if you guys know him. He was an amazing person and an amazing connector. And that's really what this is all about. This is about connecting. So I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to ask you, before we go to the next slide, I'm going to ask you to think about what is it that you think about when you think economic development, when you hear that. And also, any economic developers in the room, raise your hand. Yes, okay. Awesome. All right, any planners, MERPs, Masters of Urban and Regional Planning? Yes, awesome. Okay, that is like the ugliest acronym in academia, the MERP, but we need you. Don't go home at 5:30. Come and help your communities plan, and you'll see why. So what are some of the things, yell at me, it's okay. What are some of the things that you think about when you hear economic development?
Money. Jobs.
Money, jobs. Who said jobs?
I said jobs.
I like you.
Bureau.
Housing, okay. Ooh, that's controversial. You can get in trouble for that. Prevailing wages, yes.
Workforce.
Zoning, workforce development in the back.
Systems.
Ecosystems, oh yeah, we love that word.
Budgeting.
Say that again. Budgeting, okay, great. So next slide, please. This is the definition from CALED, California Association for Local Economic Development. It's the largest professional organization for economic developers in the country, with over 900 folks as members, including myself, for 100 years. This is their definition, and I'm going to read it. It's the only thing I'll read from the slides, okay? The creation of wealth from which community benefits are realized. It's more than just a jobs program. It's an investment in growing your economy and enhancing the prosperity and quality of life for residents. What's missing from that? Do we like that definition? Is it community? You do see the word community up there? Right? Community benefits. What is that? Do we know what that is? Anybody else?
Equity.
Yes. Who said that? Right there. Thank you, sir. What's your name?
Kev Choice.
I got that wrong? All right, thank you. What else? Yeah.
Sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Diversity. Yes. So I bring this up and I problematize this definition, which is generally accepted, to problematize this distinction between traditional economic development and inclusive economic development. So when I first started in economic development and redevelopment in California back in the day, that was my first job in local government, everything was about location, location, location. Okay. Then it went to jobs. And that meant, okay, hey, these folks want to bring a business to the community. They want to meet with the mayor. Okay, all right, how many jobs? 200 jobs. Yeah, let's meet with them. Okay, then it turned into, hey, these folks want to meet with the mayor, and they're going to bring 200 jobs. Now the question is, then the question became, well, what kind of jobs? Oh, well, it's going to be some mid-range, some entry-level, it's a good mix, or some C-suite. Okay, yeah, let's meet with them. And in economic development, we're always asking, well, what's next? What's the next thing? And usually they use some sort of sports metaphor or something. They love that. It's just a cultural thing. And so then the thing that's next is what? What do you guys think?
Profits.
Profits is now. What's next?
Technology.
Technology, that's a good one. We've already said it.
Tourism
is a good one. That's part of economic development now. Housing, creative. Yeah, that's why we're here, so that can be the case. The next step is inclusion. It's inclusion, okay? City Hall is woefully ill-prepared to deal with inclusion and economic development in a marriage. You all in this room deal with diversity, equity, inclusion all the time, right? It's like part of the DNA. It's the air that we breathe. So not so much in some of these other spaces, and definitely not so much in economic development and in those places and those spaces. And so that's why we need to sort of come together. So the folks that over here that I heard that said the creative economy, that's what this is about. This is about bridging and learning each other's languages so that we can have better conversations in support and in service of the various communities that we serve. Next slide, please. So traditional economic development, these are sort of the tricks and the tools of the trade. It is, remember I said location, 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 jobs, jobs, jobs. And really it's about land and labor and kind of like all those things that you sort of traditionally think about when you think about, okay, what's business is coming, what development is coming into the community. Are they going to the community, knocking on doors and saying, hey, what do you think? Hey, arts community, what do you think? What would you like to see in your economy? Has anybody ever asked you that question?
Yes?
Ooh, I like it. Where?
In Bakersfield.
In Bakersfield. Okay, Bakersfield's doing some good things.
Arts districts.
We want to hear more of that. Yeah, arts districts are a really cool tool. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to jump into some of the planning pieces. Anybody else? Were any of you part of the SURF conversation? How did that go? Fun? Good times?
There's an arts representative for North Valley Drive on the steering committee.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah, the arts groups, y'all really fought to be in that space, and I thought that was a really valiant effort. I helped lead the effort in the Inland Empire region in that space. We already had a collective impact group called IE Go. Anybody ever heard of that organization? Yay, good. So I was the first executive director for that organization, and we used the collective impact model to start to move forward inclusive economic development, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and share some of that. So these are the things, these are the tricks of the trade. And when I turn back, you can't really hear me as well, so I'm going to try to make that work. So business attraction, business retention, expansion, workforce, what I call BREW, I created that term in the business. Best and highest use, anybody know what that is? Best and highest use, what does that mean? It's going to be on the quiz. Okay, best and highest use means I have a piece of property, I'm a developer, and I want to get the most money out of that property. Okay, best and highest use doesn't mean, what's the best thing for the arts? It's right in the arts district. It probably should have something to do with the arts. No, what's the best and highest use of that property, which means what? How much? What can I get out of it? Dinero, yes, thank you. Real estate development, PPP, that's not the loans that folks got. That's public-private partnerships in this world. Okay, so City Hall wants something, the community wants something, government goes down and the people say, hey, we want this thing, we want a theater in our community, we want, you know, fill in the blank. What are some of the things that you all want in your community that you don't have right now that's going to take big money?
Art center.
Say it again.
Art center.
What's your name?
Deja.
Deja, you're awesome. Thank you. Next slide, please.
Okay,
so the new tools and tricks, and again, don't think that just because you believe in diversity, equity, inclusion, and have all these wonderful things, jobs programs that a lot of arts organizations are doing, don't think that because it's important to you that it is important in the economic development world. This may be stuff that is vastly just outside of the lexicon for a lot of folks, and that doesn't mean they're bad people, it just means that this isn't their everyday. Okay, they haven't gone through the trainings that you all have. They haven't sat with community groups the way that you all have. But here's what's happening in, I would say, almost every community in California, some more than others. But there's something that has happened whereby, and especially where I live in the Inland Empire, which is 40% of all of goods and services go through the Inland Empire, through the logistics industry. So we are feeding the world. We are shipping everything. When Amazon or you order something or your friends order something online, it's coming through the Inland Empire. Okay. So what happens there in our economy is very interesting. And what a lot of folks and community groups have gotten together and said, hey, we don't want any more warehouses next to my schools, next to my houses, next to all of these things. And so there has been a backlash. And in my world, in cities, you don't want your city manager to get fired. You don't want your mayor to get recalled. These are bad things in my world. They may not be bad things in your world, but in when I'm wearing my city manager hat, those are bad things. Okay, people don't want to get fired or not get reelected. And so those folks are afraid. They are listening and they're saying, hey, I can't approve this project because if I approve this project, that's going to be more trucks and that's going to be more of my constituents upset with me. So this advocacy work is working and it is changing things and it is pushing the conversation about inclusive economic development. But we have to stay vigilant because you win one project and that doesn't happen. That's one way of doing things, saying no to something. But we need to move forward and figure out how do we say yes to things. I mentioned redevelopment was my first job in local government. We had tools during the redevelopment days. It went away in 2012, but we had tools in the redevelopment day where we would be able to come up with projects and project areas. And we would say, okay, what's going to happen in this area that's been blighted, which is the word that was part of that legislation. So here's an area of town. Think of the area of your town that is blighted. Needs love, I like to say. So that area of town that is blighted needs some love and attention. We had a tool to be able to inject into the economy. I say, and I was there, so I'd love to fight with anybody that tells me different, and that's that redevelopment wasn't very responsive to the community. So when redevelopment went away and it got challenged from the court, nobody came up to protest to say, no, we need redevelopment. Even though every single day, if you're shopping in some of your communities, probably that area that you're shopping in or that district that is really cool and it used to be maybe not so cool, or where we can go into the gentrification conversation if we want to. But really, this is about money and tools to revitalize areas that without investment, you don't have economic development. That is foundation and base of economic development.
Okay, perfect.
So these are some of the things of a language that you all, how many of you know human-centered design? Excellent. What about my planner up there? Yeah, she raised her hand. All right. Yes. There's so few of us, and especially folks of color and women who are MRPs and urban and regional planners. We got to stick together. We just got to. Okay. So co-creation, diversity, equity, sustainability, all the things that you all said, yes, this is economic development right now. In some places, yeah. But as a whole, if you go to the economic development conferences and the national and the international, they struggle with this stuff. So we need you to come and roll your eyes and be like, come on, this is basic. Like, figure this out, right? But on the other side of it, on the other side is there's things that you all don't know that happens at lunches. Most development's happening at what lunch? Hey, what do you think about that corner on da 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 da? Oh, yeah, my friend owns it. That's all. Let's call him and see what his highest best use for that property. That's how economic development, that's the seed of it. Okay, that's most of it. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is the arts economy, what just happened with the Swifties and with the Beyonce concerts and all of that. We're looking at Olympic size economic impact in these communities. So anybody that tells you, like, oh, why is the arts on the table? And that's how they'll talk, I promise. So this slide really basically tells it all. In an economic development context, like some of your stuff that you do might say, oh, I don't see myself up there. But this is how you speak to economic developers right here. Mona Lisa. How many visitors go and see the Mona Lisa every year? Anybody know? 4 million, a little higher? Yes, Deja. How much? 10 million. Who said it? Right there. You're right. 10 million. That's the power of one painting. Now I'm an economic developer, so my brain just goes, okay, how many dinners was that? Okay, how many Uber drives was that? How many, all these different multiplier effects. That's how we start to look at the economy. And that's how you all have to be looking at the impacts of the things that you're doing, the artists that you're bringing in. So I'm not going to go too much to Cheech. Just shout out to Cheech. I'm Chicana. To have the Cheech, to be in the opening gala when all that was going down, our art wasn't even looked at as art. We weren't allowed to be in museums. So to have our own museum, if you hear us bragging about this, is a big deal for us. How many of you have been to the Cheech? Yes. If you haven't, plan a trip. Come down. Spend some of your economic development dollars in the Inland Empire. Hey. All right. Next slide. And I'm almost done. I'll turn it back over. Creative Economy. I just want to share this with y'all. And that said, we were at the Creative Economy workshop that Californians for the Arts put on. And this was the workshop that had the artist drawing. And so I just wanted to share this with you so you can see how multifaceted the creative economy is. If I were talking to purely economic developers, I'd have to explain this slide. Yeah. But I'm not going to explain it to you because you all know. I just want you to be aware of it. And then finally, next slide, please. Okay, next slide, I want to talk about a little bit where a separate, my other hat with Music Changing Lives. So I've been doing some form of this inclusive economic development workshop for 5 or 6 years now, going wherever they'll let me come and tell my silly jokes and get my cheap laughs. And thank you, muchas gracias. So what ended up happening is I started to work with Music Changing Lives, and you can read up about them, and Josiah's in the back here, you can talk to him. He has a flyer in his pocket to give you, I promise you. And so what we were saying is, you know, it's not enough for me as an economic developer to get up here and talk about all of these things. We really have to be partnering with the organizations that are putting this into the ground. So Music Changing Lives, these are some of the programs that they have, artist development, music programs, and all those kinds of things. And that's wonderful and that's great. But what we have to do is, in this example, is we have to take it to the next level. And that next level really is, how are we making sure that we're not just creating one gig or one more mural project or one more hosting or music, maybe a small music festival or concerts in the park or something like that. How do we teach the artist how to be thinking about generational wealth? How do we start to impact the economy so that if we had, we could do one music festival, or we can raise money and collaborate and get that theater art center that we want. Now we're creating more opportunity. So we're talking about scale. We're talking about magnitude. So those things that you're all doing, they're important and they're necessary, but we've got to take it to the next level. Music Changing Lives we talked about it a little in the last workshop, so I won't spend too much time on it, but took the biggest dump site in San Bernardino, in the city of San Bernardino, okay, and turned it into a community park and a community garden. Okay, so these are things that are transformative. The city didn't want it. The city tried to arrest them because they were doing this. And so they had to fight and they had to connect and communicate. And now that's turned into, that one garden has turned into going to schools throughout Southern California, Los Angeles County, San Bernardino County, Riverside County, and teaching students how to build their own gardens, teaching students how to create art and beautification and revitalization projects. So an economic developer and a former artist or music industry person, I'll let him tell you his story, but us coming together and really figuring out, like, how do we do this differently? How do we make it so that 10 years from now, we're not having the same conversation, that we're actually impacting people's lives and we're impacting our economy? So with that, I'm going to turn it back over. Next slide, though, please, before, because I have one more. I'm going to talk a little bit more about tips from an economic developer. That's me. I love the quote above me, "What is the city but the people?" That's Shakespeare. And so I took these photos in front of that park intentionally, because none of this economic development money, none of it works if it's not for the people, if it's not for the planet. And we have to be the ones that are learning the language to be able to move this through. We have in our conversation, I'm going to talk about some of these things, changing the narrative, showing up, understanding these things. We'll talk about some of that. But next, I'm going to give it over to Tracy. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back to the Case Making for Collaboration panel discussion, where Tracy Hudak and Jackie Melendez are sharing insights on how to leverage the tools of economic development and urban planning to support a thriving arts community. Let's take a moment to acknowledge our generous sponsors who make these discussions possible. Voices of the Community is made possible by generous support from the Zellerbach Family Foundation, dedicated to ensuring vibrant work is created, new voices celebrated, and diverse communities have opportunities to thrive. Learn more at zff.org. We're also supported by the Peaceful World Foundation, fostering a culture of global peace through hosted conversations and education. Discover more at peacefulworldfoundation.org. Coming up next, we hear from panelist Jackie Melendez. Our co-host, Eduardo Robles, sits down with her for an exclusive interview exploring how we can bridge perspectives and foster better conversations across the communities we serve.
Hi, Eduardo Robles with Californians for the Arts and Voices of the Community here at the California Arts and Culture Summit in Sacramento. I'm here with Jackie Melendez, and Jackie just facilitated a workshop titled Case Making for Collaboration, and we're going to talk a little bit further about economic development and how we can better utilize it, employ it in arts and culture.
Awesome. Thank you, Eduardo. So one of the reasons why I came to the summit this year is to talk about economic development. What I find is, as an economic developer, I find that often the worlds of economic development and the worlds of the arts community, they don't intersect the way that I think that they really can and should. Oftentimes when I'm at economic development functions, I don't see artists or arts organizations in those spaces. And then vice versa, when I'm in the arts community and I wear my arts hat, I don't see my peers in the economic development community in those spaces. And I think that if we want to move past the conversations we've had about the vital importance of the arts to our economy, we need to start integrating those spaces a little bit more. And so that's why I'm here today, to chat with folks and let them know a little bit about the world that I explore in economic development. And hopefully that can help us build better bridges and be better translators so that we grow the economy in the arts.
Thank you so much, Jackie. We see in a lot of communities across California, cultures, you know, multicultural communities throughout and a lot of times it's the culture that it's the assets. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, this model of, or this methodology, cultural districts, right? Like it's a proof of concept, you know, it drives economies, it, you know, improves quality of life, it brings people together. And how dialed in is economic development, the folks there, to this kind of this influential thing that's happening with cultural communities?
So what I would say is, be kind to your economic developers, first and foremost. Most communities don't have a lot of economic developers on staff. So if you're in a city or you're in a county, there really isn't a lot of economic developers. They're overwhelmed, just like folks in the arts community, to do the work that they need to do, which is build an economy. Economies don't build by themselves. They really do require intentional professionals who know what they're doing to move an economy in whatever category you're trying to move it in. So if the arts is a category that you're interested in moving, you need to know your economic developers in your city. Everybody should know who those folks are. And take them to lunch and talk to them and find out, you know, what are some of their pain points. The truth is most cities don't have dedicated economic developers that are dedicated to the arts. Some of the larger cities may have that, cultural affairs and things like that, that are maybe dedicated specifically to the arts, or funding in a development impact fee or art in lieu fee that's dedicated specifically to the arts. But for some of the smaller communities, some of the rural communities, that's not something that they're going to have. So you're going to want to have a conversation and start small, start where you're at. But you have to start somewhere, and you have to make sure that you start with yourself in making it a priority, and then having those conversations. I think economic developers want to have these conversations. It's just like the arts organizations, they are spread thin when it comes to capacity as well. But when we start to have the conversations, you know, that's where magic happens.
One thing that I've witnessed is distrust to, you know, economic developers, especially with cultural communities or, you know, disadvantaged communities, you know, or community organizers as well. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Jackie. Eduardo Robles, Californians for the Arts, Voices of the Community.
Stay with us as we rejoin our Case Making for Collaboration panel, exploring the vital role of arts and culture in community development with Jackie Melendez from the City of Chino and Tracy Hudak from California for the Arts.
Great. And next slide. Working with the tools of local planning. How many folks have been involved in cultural planning in your community? Show of hands. Great. How about economic development planning? Great. Great. How about land use planning? Great. Great. So I'm going to focus a little bit on land use planning, but a lot of the principles of planning and the planning process on a municipal or county level apply to these other activities as well. And for those of us, some of us recognize that cultural planning can often happen in a really siloed place. So starting with the fundamentals of land use planning and economic development planning and making sure that cultural planning is integrated into some of these can help cultivate the political will and the accountability tools necessary to get the leadership and the resources on the civic level to move our projects forward. So in land use planning, one of the key documents is a general plan. Every city, county in the state is required to have it in the state. And the general plan essentially serves as the constitution of the community. What are the land use goals, regulations, zoning, aspirations, jobs, population over the next 20 years? It's a 20-year document. And the process also by state law of building the general plan and updating it, what they call the general plan update, is a multi-year. Each locality has to have a really in-depth civic engagement process in their plan. If you go home and you've got some time to kill, take a look at your community's general plan. It also gives a really great blueprint for how government works and what are the tools of government. Things like that. So, because it's meant to be, they're meant to be in a language that the community can use. Next slide. But some of the principles in the plan, in these plans, these constitutions for the communities, apply to all planning, and you're familiar with them. But I just want to unpack this a little bit specifically. So, civic plans generally have a vision and guiding principles that the community has weighed in on. And then it'll provide background or conditions and a snapshot of where a time and place of when the plan as it is was developed, data, stories, not really stories, but data and analysis, right, to create a foundational baseline from which the goals and strategies or the implementation planning is laid out. So where the arts can see themselves in all of these are throughout. And I really recommend this. And I participated and helped lead the arts activism and advocacy with the update of the Ventura County General Plan. And I'll talk through some of those results and what that built and what that has laid for us. And then we'll get to the open conversation, I promise. So just a couple of things. It's really important for arts advocates and tradition bearers, artists, cultural organizations to participate in the visioning and guiding principle process in your plan, to get named in the vision statement of the community, to get named as a guiding principle, access to the arts, strengthening the creative economy, retaining and keeping artists in our community, to be named within the vision and the guiding principles. Additionally, advocates can provide the data for the conditions and background report. For those communities that participate in the AEP6 from the Americans for the Arts, the economic prosperity data sources, you can provide those to your planning commission. And you, when you provide those via email or through public comment, that is public record. It's a process of like, yes, government received this. And whether they include it and edit or all of that, but providing the data, expecting to be named and identified within the conditions is also a really great foundational step. And then contributing, being prioritized in the goal, contributing ideas for strategies. Let's say one of the goals is your general plan or your economic development plan wants to help diversify the economy by growing small businesses. Well, our folks in the arts community can step up and say, well, our nonprofits and within this budget range, our independent artists and creative businesses, we are that diverse sense of small businesses, right? In the old economy, towns used to be one company towns. And then with huge technological shifts or offshoring of manufacturing, towns were devastated when it relied on one industry, But when we can step forth and say, you know what, we are your small businesses, and you know what else we do? We provide the things that attract talent, keep families here, keep young people here. We're part of your future planning because of what we provide. So that's why we deserve to be in the strategies, in the goals, in the implementation steps outlined in plans. And also, we can be partners in civic engagement. So many of you provide trusted spaces in your community to invite the community in a place where they're comfortable. Like, how many of us have worked in art centers that also provide childcare so folks can, so parents can participate in the process and their kids are making art, right? That type of partnering, stepping forth as a partner. How can we help? We have this space. And also setting the terms of the scope of the plan. In one of the cities in my county, when they're updating their general plan, they put in their survey, how important are the arts to you? And that is a virtually useless question, right? Terrible, terrible survey question. It doesn't ask, it doesn't specify. Some people see the word arts and they think ballet symphony and they think not me. We like, no, unpack that and ask, how important is it to you that you and your family members have access to tools for creative expression? How important is it that you have access to places of cultural and tradition building and expression? How important is it to you to have artists stay in your community and have access and so on? Help them unpack that question that when the ways that are meaningful to your community, that you know are meaningful to our community. So our community can see themselves in the question and say, oh, yeah, sign me up, right? And next slide, please. And also something that I learned that I thought is really interesting is that government thinks a lot about itself, global, local government, spatially, right? They have very specific jurisdictions over which they have authority. And they have very specific tools, federal or state level tools, that they can use to shape that space. And counties often, if some of you live in counties that don't already have a robust commitment to the arts or aren't thinking about themselves in that way, a lot of times that is because county staff and county electeds think about arts being the facilities in cities, right? So what we can do is lead county government to seeing themselves also as regional agenda setters and conveners. What's important to our region? Because artists have done surveys. Artists will move to where there's opportunity and affordable space, right? We're agnostic to any of these boundaries. So if you run up against that, like, because they don't think they have the tools, they do have the tools. They're the agenda setters. They're setting the agenda for the region. So that's a way to break in there. Next slide. So where the arts traditionally intersect with land use planning is the percent for art programs where a developer or even a local government would pay a portion of, has to provide a portion of their built project has to be public art, or they can contribute fees in lieu of providing public art. And that's a really great tool. That's a really important tool to advocate for. We could work on that together.
But how many people in here have one of those? The DIS or Arts in Lieu?
Supposing it. Great.
So raise your hands again real high so people can see you. Talk to those folks, because if your community doesn't have one, you need to be, that's huge.
Yeah. And an interesting thing is that governments do run into snarls with public art, right? And freedom of expression. And there's a lot of issues around government setting this tone for what is art and what isn't on behalf of their community. So what we're really wanting to also encourage suggesting that instead of it being aesthetic, contributing to a pool to fund access to the arts. So what's interesting about the percent for the art fee, it's called a design impact mitigation fee. And it's supposed to be, it's a development mitigation. And it's supposed to be, technically, the technical tool is development impacts communities. It impacts infrastructure. It impacts parks and transportation and roads and all that kind of stuff. And so developers are supposed to contribute money for the public good to help mitigate those impacts. And a lot of times that money goes to what's called essential services, parks and rec and police and safety and things like that. And so really having that story of, we are not the aesthetic pretty part of the building, we're essential services. So you can use this funding to fund central services. Does anybody who has percent for the art have a clause where it can go for programming and grants and not just the built environment? No. Okay, we'll look for resources and models for that, because we know also that cities don't like to do things that others haven't already done. So if we can find those, No, it's true. And because of the litigation, right? They have to protect the city from making mistakes and costing everybody money.
No. Getting people fired. Remember what I said earlier about getting your city manager fired, mayor not getting reelected. They may not be big things in your world, or like, who cares? That's a big deal in my world. I'm fired if I do something that triggers the community, the constituent,
good call.
In a weird way. So that makes us as government, that makes us very risk averse. So if you get frustrated with us, just stroke our little risk goblin.
But there's other places where we intersect with land use. Special districts, cultural district, nighttime entertainment zones. That can be, often districts are associated with funding, like, for example, property owners can be enlisted to agree that this district, we want these certain things happening, and we pay in a little extra on our property tax to fund certain things. Cultural districts are often just statutory. They're not associated with funding all the time, but that's something that you could be advocating for. Did you have a thought?
Yeah, because somebody was proposing creating a district in our area, but then the question came up, is the fees that go to fund that, is it going to be for the landowners, or is it going to go to the businesses? Because sometimes they're different. The person that owns that property is different from the business that...
Correct. That's a huge question in communities.
And if we have space for it, maybe we can talk a little bit about PBIDs and Main Streets and some of those organizations generally that are authorized to allocate that funding. Like, we set the priority and, you know.
I do think, though, that, like, that's a tactic. So we can chat a little bit more about strategy on that, because that's more of a tactic. That's why all those people, raise your hand again. You got to talk to those folks, because sometimes it's just, we don't want to do it. So here's all the things that we're
why we can't
do to kind of like stick our heels in. And that's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah.
To smell it.
Yeah. And then also zoning issues. So like live workspace, and a lot of art production requires light industrial zoning. So if we need spaces for us to produce and present art, land use and activities that are zoned for activities, we run up against that stuff. So just be aware of that and maybe strategizing the change of a zoning requirement for an area which would be ripe for space that could be re-adapted, reused for arts production. And of course, business and regulations. Sometimes when local governments might not have the money to fund things, they use regulations and reducing friction of regulation or reducing fees to incentivize what they want to make happen. So that's another zone we can advocate. Next slide. So in working in the Ventura County General Plan, we advocates got very specific language that we recommended before commissioners and in writing just to be in the vision. And you'll see like stewardship of our cultural and natural resources, that our cultural resources, both the local indigenous living tribe, cultural artifacts in the ground. A lot of land use planning deals with artifacts, found artifacts, and how to manage and respectfully manage them. But the larger cultural social sphere, kind of opening them to that. And then talented people, like we named people as a resource in our, and that came from the arts. And commitment to collaborate, and also nonprofit organizations were not named in terms of economic priority, and even given the vast impact that they have. So we had a coalition with nonprofits. And just naming healthy, vibrant, diverse communities, how we name our communities. We contributed that language to the vision statement. Next slide. And then we also made sure that our general plan had an economic element for the first time, an economic development element, and we made sure the creative economy was in there and prioritized. Next slide. And there were other parts of the plan. I'll get back to that. But really what has, because those elements were embedded, and we also were identified in some strategies, that created the basis, an accountability document, a basis for further action, further investment, further commitments. And the land use plan, now most people's general plans are already adopted and they're happening and they go out to 2040. But there are amendments. It is a living document. But that kind of change requires political will. It requires leadership. It requires continued conversation. And decision makers that might lead that would be elected officials to influence, commissioners and commissions, and key staff member. Now, in local government, most of you probably already know this, but much of the directive and the thrust of what happens has to come from elected officials. They're the representatives, and commissioners and staff don't often have advocacy power, but they do have influence. You know, they are the trusted knowledge bearers. And so those relationships and staying in conversation. And then there are other change makers in our community, folks, and they can be, us, individually meeting with elected officials and letting them know what we're making happen in the community. We can be those influencers, but then also be thinking about civic leaders, your community foundations, your chambers of commerce, your business improvement districts, the groups of folks who convene, who talk about what's important to the community, who are trying to make communities thrive. They're eager to partner with us. They're eager for ideas, often. And with a caveat. And thank you, too. Good, I'm perfect on the timing. Universities and researchers also can provide the local data, can do the footwork for you to make the case and build the data for the stories.
How many of you have a data committee for your organizations? What's your organization?
I'm in a community college.
You're a community,
community college. Yeah, I've got the resources.
Nice. Okay.
Great. So if you don't have that data resource, you can partner with local scholars, academic teachers, professors, or departments in your universities or community colleges.
And your MERPs.
Yes. And then also those folks who are tasked with systems change, your disaster recovery coalitions and groups, folks that are trying to, any of the relationships that were built for the census outreach, that California worked really hard bringing all kinds of diverse people together to make sure folks were counted. If you want to get involved and partner in terms of engagement in this year's election, those are great people to build relationships with in terms of getting the vote out, supporting their efforts to bring people to the table. Those are great partnerships because those are the people that are meeting and continuing to talk about how do we build those partnerships for systems change, collective action, some of the stuff that we'll talk about next. Yep. Next slide. And just two more slides. So the inclusion, the general plan led to an action item, a strategy area in County of Ventura's economic development plan. Creative economy was prioritized as a potential asset, and the political will for that was in the general plan, where two key art supporter supervisors that had to have a lot of data, a lot of conversations that emboldened their staff to lead the way, advocates constantly in conversation, and a funding resource as well was activated. But there are other parts of the general plan, workforce readiness, increasing, diversifying, and small businesses, marketing and branding. That was a big focus of our plan, and we didn't have enough advocates, I think, to get into those strategies, but we're the stories that they want to tell about come to our community, here's what there is to do, and how to connect with the community and have an authentic experience of it, et cetera. Next slide. And then just another example of a confluence of political will built from plans is Working Artist Ventura. This is a live work place that opened in 2006. It's an old story, but this is an essential arts infrastructure space in Ventura County. Because of this affordable housing, some of the most important leaders of diverse organizations and traditions group live there and are able to stay in our county. This is a pivotal win, and that a lot, and Jackie's going to talk a little bit too about this kind of key infrastructure for the creative economy. Next slide. And so with a confluence of political will, there was a planning issue. There was a downtown specific plan that wanted to revitalize downtown. There was a 1992 plan, an update in 1998 that proposed a cultural district. None of that happened. A cultural plan that said the arts identity of City of Ventura was really important, and then artists were at risk of leaving because they couldn't stay. And then political leaders. We had art strategy focused council members that got it. And we had a really trusted staff person within the city of Ventura. There was several. There was a lineage of trusted staff people. And then a visionary developer who could tell the story, a brownfield that had made the land cheap and had to be, got federal funding to clean it up, and other forms of federal funding that allowed that space to be built. But the foundation of that were the planning documents. Because I will tell you, that leadership that made this happen is gone. The city of Ventura closed its cultural department, swallowed it into community partners. Leaders passed on some, but the documents live on. And again, as a basis of accountability, that this was a vision that was established. So I'll stop there and we'll open it up. Thank you so much. Next slide.
So we want to do a thought exercise with y'all in the remaining minutes and seconds we have left, precious time we have together. But before that, I want to say when I came to the city, one of the first things that I did was I convened the Chamber of Commerce, a couple of our local nonprofits, one in business, Music Changing Lives, and also so brought a couple folks to the table, and I asked them the question that I'm going to ask you, and that's that: what are the five projects that would be catalytic to our economy right now? In our community. And so what happens in Ventura may not, you may already have that, or you may say like, well, that's never going to happen here, or we don't want that, right? Every single community is unique. But what I want you to do is just take 1 minute right now to think about inventory in your brain. Question one, what assets do you have in your community right now? And you can drop them down. And then what's missing? And I want you to think place-based. Okay, think of three things that are missing. But it starts right here of us taking ownership. Back in 2012, when redevelopment went away, we lost the ability to think of projects at City Hall predominantly. And I would say, I don't know how much of it we have in the community, but we lost the idea to dream about the things that we want because we start with all the things that we can't do it because of dun. Okay, so starts step one is this exercise right here. And that's what are the things that you need? And we're not going to solve it in this space, but we're going to start with ideation. That's step one. And then we make friends. Okay, start to make friends.
I would also recommend going to the plans that do exist and finding yourselves in them. If there's something about the social determinants of health and guiding communities to healthy communities, yes, show up and say, we do that. We're already doing that.
How many of you are part of your chambers of commerce? Okay, a couple folks, that's a good hand. And then some people are like, maybe you're like, I don't see myself there. I don't like that. Or maybe I'll start my own chamber of commerce, right? That's here's what I would say. Start the chamber, your own chamber of commerce for the creative economy. If you want in your community, here's a better idea. Go and chat with them and say, hey, can you start a committee? Can you create a committee for the arts? We'll handle it. We'll be a part of it. And let's go and have that conversation. So now what we're doing is we're being collaborative. We have had decades and centuries of fighting, right, at each other's throats. So the tools of the future and the tools of the youth really are about collaboration. I was a protester and all the things. I saw a lot of machismo in that space. And today, what I care about and what's in my heart is how do we collaborate? How do I go and sit across from folks that don't look like me, don't talk like me? They didn't come from gangs and violence and drugs and craziness and chaos the way that I did. But I'm going to sit down with them because they have something that I want. Yeah, in the back. Right there, you.
I just want to say also, as an artist, capacity is an issue. Just being an advocate.
Yep.
This is a strategy, economic strategy as an artist. Is you as a practicing artist engaged in this process for money? And there are funds available to you, grants, art grants, participating in this sort of process, doing certain
practices
with imagination.
Facts. This is about shaking ourselves. We've got to shake ourselves out of our silos.
Huge opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah,
100%.
As artists, to help with communication, which they are really, really struggle with in government, of how to engage with folks in a way.
Oh, we struggle in government. What's your name?
I'm Joseph.
Joseph, thank you. Okay, so your 1 minute's over. I see you. I'll come right back to you.
We're
getting this. Okay, so wait, one more thing. So come and take me off the stage. I can fight.
No, we.
I'd rather take you to dinner, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so just give me a couple of something that you're like, we desperately need this in our community. And let me, anybody?
Transportation.
Okay, in the art space?
We're rural community.
That's okay. Land use planning, transportation.
Land use planning.
Live workspace.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, what do you want?
More specifically, a large city-owned performing venue that isn't tied to Zellerbach, UC Berkeley, or to a...
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, go Bears. I got
to
do it.
I just want to offer... For those folks that want to keep going with this conversation so that we're all running behind for all reasons and we want to respect what folks are expecting to come in here next, but if we really want this to continue, we can go in the lobby. And for those that want to stay with this conversation, let's talk some more right now.
So when you had your hand up, what?
Yes, around, the city providing things. So the city will provide a space. They want the arts organizations to fund building the space, redoing the space, making the space functional. The arts organizations can't get funding because funders don't want to give them money for a building they don't own.
Yep.
The cycle of artists saying that the city's not providing enough, the city saying that the artists aren't grateful enough for what they do provide, and then nothing gets done.
Yeah, okay, so if you take nothing, and this is final thought, and we're out of here, okay?
But we can go in the lobby.
We gotta go to dinner, and I'll be out over there. You can't miss me. What I will say to this is this. We are disrupting the conversation by our very presence. By us being here in this space, we disrupt the conversation. The more we stay in, the world is crumbling around us as we know it. Okay, so the more we stay tied to old ways of organizing, old ways of operating, old ways of just doing business, we're going to crumble with those old ways. People in other communities are doing it, and I'm here to tell you, as an economic developer, money is the easiest problem to solve for. Hear it again. Money is the easiest problem to solve for. Look to your left, look to your right in your communities and figure out who you should be collaborating with, who you should be making friends with, who you should be making amends with. Because at the end of the day, it's really about the people that we serve. And if we sit in an old method and an old way of doing business, they suffer. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for Case Making for Collaboration. We hope you gained valuable insights and tools for advocating for the arts in your community. Special thanks to our panelists Tracy Hudak from California for the Arts, Jackie Melendez from the City of Chino, and co-host Eduardo Robles for their expertise and passion. Now it's your turn. Get involved, attend city council meetings, connect with local organizations, and advocate for the arts. For more resources, visit voicesofthecommunity.com, click on Where Art Meets Impact, and explore Episode 5. While you're there, explore a wealth of interviews and stories in our Arts and Culture series. Stay connected by subscribing to our newsletter, and if you're inspired, consider donating or volunteering. Your support keeps the creative spirit alive in our community. Until next time, keep championing the arts. Join us next time as experts from the California for the Arts Summit discuss recent policy updates, statewide initiatives, and local legislative wins, highlighting key cultural developments and visions for a future rooted in arts, culture, and creativity. Today's episode was made possible through our co-production partnership with California for the Arts at their second annual California Arts and Culture Summit. Special thanks to our technical crew, audio and video wizard Eric Estrada, and our production partner Bayvac Media and their team, Paula Argoni, Andy Konami, Javon Giles, and Clay Go. Thanks to Casey Naz from Citron Studios for the graphics magic. A special thanks to our broadcast partners who help share these important conversations, KSFP LPFM in San Francisco, KPCA LPFM in Petaluma, Petaluma Community Public Access TV, and Bayvac Media's SF Commons Public Access TV. Thank you for your commitment to amplifying diverse voices and perspectives. Please support these partners and our mission by tuning in and spreading the word. Voices of the Community is made possible by generous support from the Zellerbach Family Foundation, dedicated to ensuring vibrant work is created, new voices celebrated, and diverse communities have opportunities to thrive. Learn more at zff.org. We're also supported by the Peaceful World Foundation, fostering a culture of global peace through hosted conversations and education. Discover more at peacefulworldfoundation.org. And we love your support to continue to make shows just like this one. Go to georgecoster.com and click on the donate button. Take Voices of the Community with you on the go. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Enjoying the show? Please rate and review us. It helps more people discover these important stories. Watch past and future episodes on YouTube by searching for Geo Coster. Have feedback or ideas? We'd love to hear from you. Email george@georgecoster.com. I'm George Coster from San Francisco. On behalf of our team, thank you for joining us. Until next time, remember, your voice matters.